Thanks for listening to Draw Near with Fred and Kara. For people who have been listening for a long time with us, you know that Fred and I are friends who always liked to talk about God. That was kind of our car conversation, was always just like intense theological conversations.
Yes. That's our chit-chat.
Yeah, that's our chit-chat, is like deep theological questions. And so that's kind of how Draw Near started, was we were like, why don't we invite people into these discussions that we like to have? So it really is just like, you know, we have this kind of running joke with, you know, our spouses and us, like we're a family of friends. But kind of in that vein, we do have one episode where we do talk about friendship. Mm-hmm. It's called Virtuous Friendship. But we kind of felt very led, especially we had somebody reach out to us who we're friends with. And, you know, there was somebody in their parish who was kind of struggling with this particular question, like, how do I find good friends and friends who know me and, you know, love me for who I am and where I'm at and help me to grow? And so we just felt very called to have another episode about friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really kind of like starting with the question of how to friend, because I feel like, I mean, when you say how to friend, like immediately you think,
click add friend.
Exactly. Immediately you think social media. Right. Like that's how you friend somebody. You follow them on social media. Mm-hmm. But okay, now because we've been so ingrained, like that's been so ingrained in us, and we're really just like in the depths of internet culture.
Right.
Now, how do we step out of that into the real world and actually make lifelong friends who know who we are?
Right.
What do you think, Fred?
I think it's a lot more complicated than click add friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things, and we've heard this a lot lately, particularly in time we've spent with teenagers, which kind of makes it all the more sad. We've given talks about friendship, and afterwards we always have someone or several someones come up to us just sad that, you know, I don't have any friends. I feel like I don't have any friends. And I know in some ways in our own families, both of us have encountered this more recently. Mm-hmm. We don't have to share the details, but
it might come up.
Yeah.
With our kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it hurts. It's sad to see that. But I also look back and I remember feeling that way.
Yeah.
The devil wants you to feel alone.
Yeah.
He always wants you, because you're easy pickings when you're feeling that way. But at the same time, many of us know and we realize that a good friend is hard to find. Mm-hmm. A good friend is very hard to find. And so it's not that hard to feel lonely. You know,
I remember feeling that too. I think it's actually easy to feel lonely even if you're surrounded by a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Like I remember feeling like I don't have any friends, but it probably looked like on the outside that like I was doing okay.
Right.
But really none of those people who were in my life actually knew anything about me. Like they didn't know how much I struggled with, you know, XYZ. They didn't know what my faith meant for me. Right. It was just like the social context of school.
Right.
And so much of that was like trying to hide those things that make me different and unique because I wanted to just sort of like have a bunch of friends and fit in.
Right.
So I definitely struggled with that too.
Yeah. There's in a certain sense, we're lost in a sea of acquaintances.
Yeah.
Because many of the people in our lives know a version of us, but we don't necessarily feel like they know us.
Yeah.
Really. And so that's something that comes into this discussion too, is a true friend is not someone you have to be a version of yourself with.
Right.
You can just be you. So how do you do that? How do you have a friendship? What's it supposed to look like? How do you actually hit add friend in real life? That's what we're going to really dive into today. Yeah.
Well, I kind of struggle with that a little bit, in that I feel like so much of the online culture has been brought into how we actually live our lives with our friends. Like, I don't know, probably most of the people who follow me on like Instagram, which is a private account, so it's not like I'm like looking to get followers, are people who I met in real life, or people who, you know, I have a relationship with, or at least an acquaintance of my life. But I feel like there are so many people who I follow who I just like, I like something that they say, or I like the recommendations that they give. And how often do we then kind of bring that into the real world? It's like we follow these people who have influence over our life, and we want to, you know, decorate our house like them or buy the same clothes that they have. And I'm guilty of this. I am guilty of this.
We went to a coffee shop just because.
Just because. We went to a coffee shop just because it was owned by somebody who I really admire on social media.
And then we went to a restaurant.
Get out of here, friend. Quit tattling on me. We did. Okay. I was nerding out for just like a second. Yeah. She wasn't there. I was sad.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know. I probably would have like hid in a corner. I wouldn't have done anything if she was there. But I feel like we take some of that into the real world too, where it's like we don't actually want to show people like the rawness of our life. Right. It all just has to be so picturesque and like perfect. Yeah. And when we friend people, it's like, well, they have influence. I just remember, I'm just pulling from like more of the social context of my life, which was like high school, college years. It's like, well, you know, they had influence over a larger group of people in that particular grade. So like, that's why I want to follow them. But like, they don't know who I am. They know nothing about me.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like so much of the click, we're an acquaintance, or we hung out a couple times, so now we're friends. Mm-hmm. We've brought that into like the real world. Mm-hmm. And then it's led us to not really belong anywhere. It's just sort of fitting in.
Right.
I feel like there's actually a very distinct difference between fitting in and belonging somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like if your goal is to like, I just want to fit in, I feel like immediately in saying that, the intention is to like strip you of everything that is unique of yourself.
Right.
And just kind of mesh and mold into this like big crowd. Right. I just want to fit in and go unnoticed. And, and you know, like the intention might be good in the initial, like I want to be surrounded by a lot of friends. But really what you're doing and saying like, I want to fit in is I just want to be just like them.
Right.
And it takes away who God has actually made you to be.
Absolutely.
And so the difference between fitting in and belonging, our desire should be, I want to belong somewhere, is when we have a desire, I just want to belong somewhere or belong to someone, like hint, hint, we belong to God.
Right.
When we start living in this belonging, there's so much freedom to actually be who we are.
Right.
Because when we belong, it's like you have, whether it's a group of people or one person, they now see you for you, and you don't have to put on these masks. You don't have to fit in. You don't have to be stripped of what makes you different. And I feel like then it's really living how Christ lived, because really Christ never fit in. He was he drew everyone's attention. He did a whole lot of things that were very unique and very different for his culture. He never fit in, but he absolutely belonged. And the people who followed him, specifically the apostles, were so faithful to him and they wanted to imitate him. Like that's the kind of influencer lifestyle and following. That's okay. Is when like someone's living a very holy life. Yeah. You can definitely want to like be more like them or do the things that they do. Cause that's the point. We want to point people to Christ. Really, when we desire to belong, that's when we start living more like Christ and more like who Christ has made us to be.
It's kind of an extreme example, but as you're talking about changing ourselves for the sake of fitting in, for the sake of having friends, this was me in my life before Christ. I just wanted friends, and it led me to a place of the partying, the drinking, the drugs, all that sort of stuff, that lifestyle that went with that. Hey, I'll pay for your fund. I just want friends, you know?
Yeah.
And it led me down a very self-destructive path. And when I found Jesus and began to discover, like you said, who I actually am, who I'm created to be, what happened to all those friends?
They all left.
They all left. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful that the Lord provided new friends, but it's taken time. It's taken years. And then there's those times in your life where you have to begin again. You move, you know, new seasons, your friendships change. And so no matter where you are in your life, you can find yourself feeling
lonely
and like, I don't have any friends. Or maybe you're far away from that close friend you've had in your life. So what do you do now? I don't know. It's a little, in some ways, it's easier with social media and communication, in the sense that if we're far away from that close friend, we can still communicate reasonably well. But it doesn't change the fact that the best place to not be lonely is right next to somebody.
Sure. I also, the easiest place to be lonely might be right next to somebody.
That's true. Yeah.
Sometimes I think this is true in my own life, where my loneliness has been a result of myself, because it's like somebody's right there and they want to help and they want to be there. But I'm like, oh, but I'm alone. And it's like an image in my head is just like turning your back on them, but they're like right there.
Right.
So sometimes it can be us. When you're talking about your experience, I definitely had a similar one, probably throughout college, I had a few good friends, but maybe in my mind, it was like, you need the mass, you need the masses. Mm. And so, especially my freshman year, it was very similar, like wanting to fit in with the people who I was currently hanging out with at that time, and then falling into things that I should not have been falling into. And I remember one morning after waking up having far too much to drink, and in that moment of like that night, it was like, oh, like, you know, her and I are really getting along. Maybe like her and I can be friends. The next morning, maybe we saw each other in the caf or something and like said nothing. Mm. And I had this realization that it was like, that's not what friendship is built on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just fitting in and losing so much of who I am.
Right.
To the point where you don't remember that, like, oh, you could be friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I, as you're saying that, I'm remembering what everybody thought was a very close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And it was we were always together, like drinking and stuff. And I wasn't a smoker really, but he was a smoker. He would smoke like, he's the kind of person that would light the next cigarette with the cigarette he just smoked.
Okay.
And so he smoked so much, like the fingertips were brown.
Sure.
You know, but when I was around him, I would smoke. Now I have asthma. I grew up with smoking in the house. So like, should I be doing that? I know better. But I noticed, I noticed one day that when it was shortly before I had my initial conversion, that when we were sober, there was nothing we could talk about. Mm. But when we were drunk, everyone thought we were best of friends because we had so much fun. Right. But that wasn't an actual friendship.
Yeah.
It felt like it in that moment. But how did we get there?
Right.
By being something other than who we are.
You're fitting in. Both of us. Rather than belonging.
Right.
I feel like too with that, like when we truly have a friend where we belong, it's kind of like Christ. You know, you don't have to have an entire group where you belong. Sometimes that's kind of the inclination with like, oh, maybe I want to be popular. We associate that with quantity, the number of how many people admire us or follow us or know us. But really, I feel like belonging to Christ, if you actually look at his life, three people had this deep, intimate relationship with him. Mm. And I'm limiting it to the apostles, looking at the apostles right now, not, you know, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, like they were very good friends as well. But Peter, James, and John, he had very close relationships and then extending out to the rest of the 12. Mm-hmm. So there are various levels of that friendship and of the number of friends that you have.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, what Christ did for all of them was call them to something more. You know, one of my probably pet peeve sayings is, oh, Jesus accepts me where I'm at. Jesus loves me where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And the pet peeve in that is like, there's truth. Yes, he does. Right. He accepts you where you are and he loves you where you are. But like the pet peeve in that is that so many people, I think, use that as a reason to never change and never grow. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm not doing anything sinful because God loves me where I am. Mm-hmm. It's like, he loves you even in the midst of the sin, but he doesn't make you stay in the sin. He wants to love you to the place where you come out of sin.
Yeah.
He did that for all of the apostles. And I feel like that's what a friendship of belonging, where you truly feel like you're yourself, like that's what it is. They love you in the midst of mess, but because of that friend, you just want to be better.
Right.
You want to grow.
Exactly. As you're describing that, I'm picturing like, Jesus loves me where I am. Yeah, you've fallen into the gutter and filth, and he loves you in that gutter and filth.
Yeah.
But does he leave you there?
No, he's going to pick you up.
He wants to pick you up because he loves you.
Yeah.
And so, that's a true friend.
Yeah.
And so we find our best friend in many ways in Christ.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said for being the kind of friend that we want in our life, that that difference between fitting in, belonging that you mentioned. So we want a meaningful friendship. There's some steps and things that we can take to heart and put into practice that can help us to find those sorts of friendships. Maybe one of the greatest miracles of Jesus is that he had 12 friends in his 30s.
Right.
You know, that's the real miracle.
It's like, give us one. 12, we're good.
12 close friends. But it's funny because you mentioned the levels of friendship there. First of all, I've heard this from Simon Sinek many times, and he's citing a scientific study. I'll try to find it. We can put it in the show notes. But we're only made to be able to handle 150 relationships, like actual relationships at most. Mm-hmm. And within that, you're not going to have 150 best friends. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So you see that dynamic with Jesus. First of all, I love that it's around 150 because we see 120 in the upper room.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
But with Jesus, you have the 70, then you have the 12, mm-hmm. then you have the 3, mm-hmm. then you have the 1. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works. And we have to be okay with, you might only ever have one truly close friend.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. It's but actually beautiful.
It is very beautiful.
Yeah.
It was scripture. You see this in scripture, David and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. You see those kind of friendships. I would say you see that with Ruth and Naomi as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a little different dynamic, but you still see that. Are we willing to be that kind of friend that we need for others? But we also have to, in our last friendship episode, we quoted this scripture. It's one of our favorite scripture passages, Sirach 6:14-17. You have to recognize that when we put Christ first, when we seek first his kingdom, there is some promises he makes to us. Mm-hmm. We'll have what we need. So Sirach 6:14-17, a faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He that has found one has found a treasure. There is nothing so precious as a faithful friend, and no scales can measure his excellence or her excellence. A faithful friend is an elixir of life. Another translation reads a life-saving medicine for that. And it says, those who fear the Lord will find him or her. Mm-hmm. Those who fear the Lord will find that friend. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a promise, Kara. Yeah. Whoever fears the Lord and directs his friendship aright, for as he is, so is his neighbor also. Mm-hmm. Seek first the Lord and be that kind of friend you're wanting in your life. And there's a promise.
That's what I was going to say as you were saying, you know, there are a few things we can do. Like I wanted to say, the first thing is you have to have a relationship with God.
Right.
Because I give this advice to people who ask about like relationships or people who are struggling in the dating world. And it's like, if you are seeking your purpose and your value from this other person that you're dating or that you're hoping to marry, it's not going to work because we are imperfect beings. And so the love that we have with each other is always going to be imperfect, which requires a whole lot of forgiveness and mercy with each other. But then if you're expecting this person to fulfill something that only God can fulfill, that's so much pressure on that imperfect person.
Yeah, it's not fair to them.
It's not fair to them at all. Right. And it's not fair to you because you're never going to be satisfied in what you're expecting to be satisfied with.
Right.
And so in order to, I think it works in just the friend setting as well, not just the romantic setting. In order to find someone, like, you can't go in with the expectation that this one person is going to be the fulfillment of all my desire for friendship and is going to heal my loneliness, because that's not their job.
Right.
God will send them as a blessing, and that's so beautiful, but you have to seek God first. You have to love the Lord first, because he's the one who's going to fill that hole in your heart of loneliness. He's the one who wants to be your best friend. He's the one who wants to be your lover first.
Right.
And then he's the one who gives you value and purpose and meaning so that you love yourself. Like, so often I see so many broken people who don't love who they are, and they want someone else to come in and love them.
Right.
It's like, if you don't love you, how can they love you in the midst of the brokenness and the things like you're not even willing to reveal to them?
Right.
It's like when we experience this beautiful friendship with God, which is the first and foremost friendship that we should have, then there's just this like healing and wholeness of giving him all of our ugliness and brokenness.
Right.
And then he helps us to really love ourselves and love him. And only then can we start being a friend to another person in this like beautiful virtue of charity. And only then can we receive the love and the beautiful virtue of charity from another person.
Right.
I can't remember. I put it in like a college paper of mine, and I wanted to find the quote, and it was just for the paper apparently. But there's these two paragraphs in the catechism that connect the virtue of charity with friendship. And it basically, like the gist, when you put the two paragraphs together, the gist is that the height of the virtue of charity, true charity of what we're called to, is it comes alive and it comes about in true friendship. And I feel like the only way that that really is true is if we are rooted or grafted to love himself, to charity himself.
That's awesome, Kara.
I was getting feisty there. Sorry.
As you mentioned that, like the need to be open with our brokenness and not pretend to be something other than we are. You talked about our friendship with Christ. And I think there's, if anything we learn from scripture, is that God reveals himself gradually in stages. He's very patient in that process. So I've done this at times in my life where that desire for a friend, like I come in guns blazing, you mm-hmm. know, like here's all my brokenness. Like I just want a friend, like, and so that can feel like I just vomited a lot of brokenness on you. Mm-hmm. And then what happens to someone new in your life, they're probably going to walk away and scare them.
A little overwhelmed.
And overwhelmed. And it's not because there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. It's because you're grasping mm-hmm. and you're trying to force something rather than allowing something to blossom, rather than allowing something to grow.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a good practical tip to start with. Yeah. Like, realize that you're going to need to be patient. Mm-hmm. And patience does bear good fruit.
Well, you have to reveal yourself gradually and in stages.
And in stages as
just
well.
Just as God does. And that's actually how like a mutual trust is built, to where they receive your brokenness and they want to help bring life back into your life as well.
And I also think that loving yourself that you're talking about, that is also something, especially if you're somebody that has experienced a lot of brokenness, a lot of trauma, a lot of hurts in your life. Even if you've like hit it, mm-hmm. like loving yourself in that mess, that is something that's also like it's gradually and in stages as well.
Yeah.
In a certain way, like you're trying to become friends with yourself at that point and with Christ, and then it extends outward. But so I mean, that's the first practical tip I can give, in that being the kind of friend you need is be patient.
Yeah. I would say that a lot of the tips that are going to come from me are probably, think of the kind of friend that you desire for your life. And then become that friend to a person. Mm-hmm. Become exactly what you want in a friend to another person. One thing I will say that I actually really regret was when I was younger and in college, I would actually probably say, one of my biggest pet peeves was giving so much in a friendship and then not receiving it back. Mm. And I think that was a very selfish pet peeve because it's basically saying like, I'm not willing to give unless I'm going to also receive. And so that's what I want to kind of warn against, you know, coming from a place of experiencing that mistake in my understanding of friendship, is if you want this kind of friend and you start working within yourself to become that kind of friend to another person, you know, don't allow your worth or your value in whether or not that person now exceeds your expectations or becomes, you know, as selfless or loving as a friend as you are being to them. Mm. It's just like really, really building within your own heart and your own self a desire to serve and a desire to give love to another person. And then God is going to reward that, just like in that Sirach passage. When we love the Lord, he will bring that friend for you.
Yep. And in that, you're being just like Christ.
Exactly.
Like Christ on the way to the cross, he didn't stop for a moment and say, wait a minute, why am I doing this? They don't do anything for me.
I'm giving a whole lot.
They don't even believe me.
Yeah, it's a give and take.
Yeah. No, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'm giving my 100% here. What are you doing? Yeah. You know, there was none of that kind of talk. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful how we bring that kind of thoughts into our friendships. At the same time, if you're someone who perpetually allows yourself to be treated like a doormat for the sake of having friendships, those aren't true friendships.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's you not loving yourself and allowing yourself to be used for the sake of a so-called friend. And I say that because that was me.
Yeah.
That was absolutely me. I did that. And I'm reminded of the words here, Kara, from Proverbs. There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Mm.
That's like us.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Kara. I was going to say, how many people in my life have I, friends, I've had many of those friends that pretend to be friends. Mm-hmm. How many have I had that's a friend who sticks closer than a brother? I'd say I have many good friends, mm-hmm. but I honestly probably maybe one falls into that category.
Yeah.
And you're that one person. Yeah. So, and I know I have many good friends that, you know, that way too. And of course our spouses, like it's a given that we think our spouses are also our best friends. So I'm happier now than I was then with all those fake friends, you know?
Yeah. So I like it. I'm glad that you said the, not letting yourself also be taken advantage of or hurt or be a doormat. Cause I think that can be a tendency too. And that's definitely not what we're saying in, you know, if you don't expect the same thing back, that's not at all what we're saying.
Right.
know what you deserve and then ask the Lord for that.
Right.
You know, scripture says you have not because you ask not. Asking you shall receive, seeking you will find, knocking the door will be opened for you. And so if you, this is something that you desire and you know that it is a good desire in your heart and that it's something that the Lord wants to give you, he will give that to you. Because I feel like that's, that was always something that I wanted in a friend. I wanted somebody who I could be completely myself with and not feel like I had to hide even the rough parts or the parts that I was like struggling with. And I wanted somebody who was going to like see those and then help lift me back up. And so I think that would be another piece of advice for me. If you desire a friend who lifts you up, be the friend who lifts others up.
Right.
Because a lot of times I experienced, especially in large groups of quote friends, I would fall into gossip. And it's like, oh, this little nugget of gossip is my in to this conversation. But what it does is then you become the gossip. Then the person who shared something with you no longer trusts you. And the people who are hearing it, you're not lifting up that other person to that group.
Right.
And so you're not in that moment being who you desire for your own life.
Amen.
And so just kind of checking yourself, I guess, a little bit here. Is am I lifting people up? Am I speaking well of them? Would I like it if somebody went to behind my back to my friends and talked about me in this way? If the answer is no, then fix what you're doing.
Absolutely, Kira. I'm thinking again, sorry, I keep going back to scriptures with this, but
I like it.
St. Paul makes it clear. What's this kind of friendship supposed to look like? It's not supposed to look like tearing each other down, tearing others down for the sake of having a so-called friend. He says, encourage one another, build one another up, forbearing one another, forgiving each other, bear one another's burdens, not tear each other down. He says, build bridges, not walls. He says, instead of pushing away, draw near.
Yeah.
Like what I did there, Kara.
Yeah, I did.
But that's what it's supposed to look like. And so I also like that you said check yourself, because in the immortal words of the prophet Ice Cube, we have to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, Kara. Yeah.
We really do. And I think in that scripture quote, bearing each other's burdens, I recently saw a video. It was also by Simon Sinek, as we're quoting him. Who is he for people who don't know him?
He typically does, I wouldn't call it motivational speaking, but definitely speaking on leadership. He's got a lot of good TED Talks, things like that. But author of 5 books, Leaders Eat Last, I think is the most recent. Excellent book.
Yeah.
But he talks a lot about these kind of ideas of how we should treat people and what should be the focus of our lives. There are places where he's never came out as a Christian by any means that I'm aware of, but we love to like do this thing where we're like, places where Simon Sinek sounds a lot like Jesus.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But if anyone hasn't heard any of his stuff, absolutely excellent.
We actually literally wrote a talk that we gave at a Chamber of Commerce meeting that was about how to basically lead like Jesus,
right?
Unapologetically bringing in Christianity to the business world, I suppose. But it was kind of, that's the inspiration. If anyone follows our ICUmovement.com, that was the inspiration for my Treat Me Like a Human Being blog post.
Right.
Was a lot of the things that he brings in. He's a very relational leader. Anyways, I found a video that he did where he was talking about friendship. And he basically said, if somebody is having a rough day or just a really down point and they need comfort or they need peace, all it takes is 8 minutes. So he said he and his friends have this kind of unspoken like language of, I'm struggling, I need you, I need help. And they just will send each other a message, do you have 8 minutes?
Nice.
I'm going to get all teary. I just think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have 8 minutes? And what the person receiving, I feel like if I were to receive that, it would be like, they trust me. They're struggling. They need help. Lord, help me be a comfort to them. Help me bring peace to them. And then you just go sit with them, go spend time with them, answer the phone call with them for 8 minutes. And sometimes we're those people who need 8 minutes.
Right.
And so if you're somebody who needs a friend or needs 8 minutes with somebody, you know, ask. And even if you don't feel like the initial response is, who do I ask? I feel lonely. Sometimes those people who are meant to be these virtuous friends, the ones who are going to lift you up, they're already in your life. We're just turning our back to them.
Right.
Kind of like I mentioned before, and we don't realize. And so if they are somebody that you can trust, start building that bridge
right.
where you grow in that relationship. I feel like I have somebody in, like that in my life where, shout out to my friend Kendall. We were not friends in high school. I told her, we joke about this. I'm like, we were nemesis because we were in so many of the same things. And I feel like there was this like unspoken competition of like, oh, she got that musical role and I wanted that musical role. Anyways, we are very good friends now. And I wish that we would have been friends in high school because we did so much of the same things. We were always the ones at youth group when no one else was there.
Right.
And so like there was already that foundation for that virtuous friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we both were like simultaneously turning our back to one another in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like as adults with children and mm-hmm. a faith, like we always talk to each other. And so if you feel like maybe there could be somebody, like just take that step out and start building that bridge so that those people can become that.
Right.
And it just could take 8 minutes.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I know. I love that.
I think we believe so strongly this idea of, first of all, that this is a good desire to pray for and that the Lord will answer that prayer. And this idea of like letting a friendship develop. I think we believe so passionately and so strongly about it because in a way that's the story of our friendship.
For sure.
And it's funny because sometimes we're asked to go places and speak, and it might be primarily one of us that's going. This happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
But the other comes along because they want that the witness of our friendship.
Yeah. I feel like we also often get asked, how long have you guys known each other?
Mm.
And then when we say, they're like surprised because it's not as long as people would assume.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, it's still long.
We're coming up on 8 years.
Yeah,
but
it's still long.
But I will say, like, we've never shared the story publicly, and I'm not going to share the details of it specifically, but for many years, I had a lot of, like, as I've worked in ministry, I had, again, a lot of, I would call them friends
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people I've been close with, but I always prayed for this kind of friend. Lord, like in your word, it promises this kind of friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I always prayed that prayer, help me to find that person. And I met you
mm-hmm.
and it just felt like the Lord put that in my heart. This is that person.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't lead with that. Going back to my point from earlier, at no point did I say, we're going to be best friends.
God told me we're going to be best friends.
Yeah.
Although I do know somebody who did that.
Right. But, and we've talked about that. Like you totally, like I would have been, okay, this is weird.
We're done. Like, okay, thanks.
But it developed over time
mm-hmm.
and you know, that developed in you as well. But it's been through that process of journeying through really all these tips and all this advice that we're offering here and what follows, it comes out of that. That's the fruit of it.
Yeah, definitely.
If I could, Kara, I will probably switch to like, here's some tips.
Sure.
And I think it's kind of like stuff that characterizes our friendship,
mm-hmm.
what I've found.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to add or disagree even if you want.
Okay.
So I think one thing that's important, you mentioned the brokenness that everyone carries into any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why being honest and vulnerable about that is important. I think know the tender spots by talking about them, know where there's hurts and be respectful and understanding of those tender spots.
Yeah.
Meaning what's going to hurt you.
Sure.
And how should I respond and
how
should I phrase things? I don't mean walking on eggshells. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
But you've come to a place like in a virtuous friendship, you know those places, you know those hurts. I'm not necessarily talking about your fishing buddy,
mm-hmm.
but those friendships that you're trying to cultivate and grow deeper.
Yeah. Like, it could be a fishing buddy.
It could be, yeah.
But I would say even before that, like one of the tips to get to that place is fostering trust.
Mm-hmm.
And really a lot of that is like, if you are two close friends in the midst of a group of friends, like holding what one another says as like this is something for your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think then that cultivates trust to get you, as you know, if you're somebody who you're like, I don't have a virtuous friend, I don't have a close friend, to get you to a place where like I can tell you my hurts and trust that you're not going to come back with an intention of being vicious and like pressing those hurts.
Yeah. Never use wounds as weapons.
Sure.
That was my next tip actually.
Yeah. It goes right with it.
Yeah. I think one thing, this is true of any relationship. It's especially true of marriage, but I think it's true of friendship too. You have to be able to always assume positive intentions on the part of the other person. If you're in a relationship where you're just not sure, are they trying to hurt me?
Or you know they're trying to hurt you.
Or you know they're trying to hurt you. That's not a friendship.
Yeah.
And that's not good for you. I would say the same thing to a couple that's dating or anything else. But it's true in friendship too. You have to be able to assume especially in a virtuous friendship, mm-hmm. that the person cares for you and is not trying to make things difficult for you.
Yeah, there have been people in my life like seeing as an outsider observing where, you know, the person knows and me as an observer knows that like someone's coming at them with malicious intent.
Right.
And this is someone who's supposed to like be protecting their heart and actually care about them.
Right.
And so you don't always have to assume positive intention if it's very clear that like, no, you're trying to hurt me.
Right.
But yep. Now let's talk about this and how what you just did made me feel.
Right.
And hope that there's some understanding and like transformation
right.
in that relationship.
Yeah. And related to that, I think if you find yourself in a place where you have a negative thought or anger toward your friend, but you're not necessarily sure why, or maybe it's something that it's just out of nowhere, always be quick to not necessarily dismiss it, but to at least consider why you're feeling that way. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a check yourself before you wreck yourself kind of a thing, because what's angering you about that thing could be some of your own brokenness that you're turning back at your friend.
Yeah.
And that's going to create division. That's going to harm them. So you have to take a moment to discern, not just react emotionally out of that, to discern, you know, is this a real thing? Is this something that's really happening in our friendship?
Or bring it to the friendship and talk about it.
Exactly.
Yep. Because I think I'm someone who very quickly tries to dismiss, like, and then things start getting pent up and then there's like an explosion later.
Right.
So if it's something that really is on your heart and you discern like, no, this actually did make me feel a certain way, or this was perceived this way, like bring it up. Because I would say that when there's a virtuous friendship and somebody who takes away those feelings of loneliness, the devil's going to hate every part of that friendship.
Right.
Because it's good and true and beautiful. And so he's going to attack it. And one thing that I would say I have found to be very true is when there's a lack of communication and honesty, the accuser is like the loudest voice in my mind. And so if you get the voice of truth and having that conversation with your friend, I think that can help your friendship heal, but also grow forward.
Right. What about when you're jealous of your friend, Kara?
It depends on what you're jealous of him for.
Right.
Like, no, I mean, it says do not covet
right.
in the commandments. So I would say that jealousy probably is not like a virtuous feeling. I feel like especially at a younger age, it's easy to be jealous of a friend as you see they have other friendships.
Right.
And I think that can sometimes actually be really hard to... I don't know. I don't really have like a holy answer to this question, because I've experienced this too, where it's like I have a hard time wanting to put so much effort. And this is where that selfish like understanding of a give and take came from. I have a hard time wanting to put so much into a friendship where I see that that other person is like, you know, he's my best friend, she's my best friend, this person's also my best friend. And it's like they have like 5 million best friends. Yeah, and it feels like a very meaningless word when like that very intimate, confidential thing that like this person would bring to you, they're also going to like their 5 million other friends for the different advice. And so it's like, I'm not sure where I really fit into like what you need. So there's like a struggle with the why of the friendship, which actually I just saw a Simon Sinek video about that too. And it was like, he's very strong about understanding your why. And usually he's talking about in the business world, like, why are you working in this particular place? Why are you doing this particular work? But he said, if you ever have a hard time understanding your why in terms of like your passion or your heart or what you're doing, ask a friend, why are you friends with me? And he said they're going to start telling you things about yourself, like, oh, well, you're kind, you know, you treat me well, you're trustworthy, things like that. And you're like, yeah, but I do that with everybody. Why do you want to be friends with me? And eventually they'll get to a place where they start describing themselves and things that you've like spoken into their own life and healed in their own life. And then that can give you your why. And so I would say like, sometimes where I have had a hard time is like when I don't know my why of that person's friendship. Why are you friends with me? Because you're getting everything from all of these other best friends.
Right.
And so I think you always want to squash those feelings of covetousness.
Right.
That's a word. Jealousness.
I think that's a word.
Is it a word? Of jealousy when it comes to envy, like wishing poor things upon them.
Right.
Because envy is like, you know, you may want what they have and you wish they didn't have it. Like you want to take the good away.
Right.
So definitely don't fall into that mentality, mm-hmm. because we always want good for right. those who we love and for those who God loves, really. Right. That's everybody. But in like pushing down those feelings of jealousy and casting those aside, don't resign to the fact that like, oh, this is just the status quo. Like, I'm just being jealous. I'm just going to continue. Mm-hmm. There might actually be something where, you know, you're not called to be that person's 5 millionth and first best friend, right. you know?
Yeah.
And so you can still discern that. And I really feel like it's within a person's own heart that they know their intention. The world doesn't have to know your intention. And right. oftentimes they're going to misunderstand your intention. Amen. But if you and God know it, that's really what matters.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know if that was a good answer, but that's kind of where I was like, I've struggled with that actually.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. And I think it can go on the other way. Like, you see, it seems like God is blessing your friend way more than you.
Yeah.
Are you jealous of those blessings, or do you rejoice
right.
because you're happy your friend has good things?
Yeah.
If your answer was yes to the first question, danger zone. Like, there's some issues there that you probably are more in your heart mm-hmm. than your friend, and you need to pray with those and try to, like, that's a place in your heart you need to be healed, because you should rejoice when your friend is doing well.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm just realizing we probably need to say this, and I don't know if we made this a strong enough point as we began this, because we are largely talking about virtuous friendship in this episode,
yeah.
Which is the highest form of friendship. You can find the episode we did on virtuous friendship in the show notes.
It's called Virtuous Friendship.
It's called Virtuous Friendship. Realize that it's okay to have friendships that don't go this deep.
Yes.
That really don't go, like, we're not talking about our feelings a lot, because in our friendship, we just like to play board games together.
Right. And that's okay.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's our friendship. That could still, I guess, depending on, you know, how you're wired and where you are in your life, in a way, that could be the best friend that you need.
Yeah.
And that is your best friend. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. So as we're having this conversation, you might be thinking of the friends you play board games with, or go bowling work with. Mm-hmm. You might be thinking of, I was trying to give a example of a female friendship, but I wasn't thinking, like, what do women do that's like things that guys do? Help me, Kara.
I don't know.
Okay.
You're my best friend and you're a guy, so right. like, I don't have like...
Right, okay, okay. Well, you get the point. Whatever you're like, okay, I'm thinking of, okay, so we always go to this coffee shop. It's our thing, yeah. usually on Thursday, see the same people that come in every Thursday.
Yeah.
And there's these old ladies that sit there
play Mahjong.
Yeah. Every week.
So you're Mahjong friends.
So you're Mahjong friends. Yeah. There we go. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. And those are the different levels. If you listen to the Virtuous Friendship episode, those are the different levels, but they might not be the ones that you share everything with if they're not at that level of virtuous friendship,
mm-hmm.
but they could eventually be that right. virtuous friendship,
yeah.
because as Fred said, like, that ours kind of was slowly and in stages and progressed to get to that place, and started because we worked together, then started mm-hmm. because we like playing board games during our lunch break. And mm-hmm. so it kind of progressed. And then it was like, oh, and we love God. Now let's like
right.
help each other to kind of grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fishing buddy, the Mahjong ladies, like, they could become those people who you just fully trust, and they're challenging you to be better.
Right. Amen. If I could, Kara, one last mm-hmm. little bit of advice, I think, to cultivating a friendship, because ultimately the life of heaven, the heaven we're seeking, is virtuous friendship with everyone else there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of incredible to think about.
With everyone else in heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's the height of charity.
That is the height of charity, as you said earlier. And what's the key to preparing us for that in terms of friendships here? Around us, I think it's to be consistent, to be honest, and when necessary, be vulnerable, but certainly to open our hearts to allow Jesus to work mm-hmm. in and through us and in and through the relationships around us.
Yeah.
That's how you cultivate a friendship.
Yeah, I would say I just kind of want to leave everybody with a little bit of encouragement, because I know, especially if you're listening and you're at a place where maybe you are experiencing that loneliness, or you want... even just like a friendship of convenience, and like, you'll right. get it to the friendship.
I want someone to know what coffee I'm going to order yeah. when I walk in.
Yeah. Like, and then you'll get to the place of virtuous friendship. Right. I just want to encourage you, you know, not to fall into just like self-deprecation of something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. People don't like me because this about me. And really then we start listening to the voice that is a liar. Mm-hmm. I had to tell this to my daughter actually recently, where she was just really, really sad. She felt like she didn't have friends. Mm-hmm. And then we, at the end of the day, you know, obviously we talked to her about it in certain ways, but at the end of the day, we're like, why don't you pray for the people who were mean to you today? And she's like, I actually think I want to pray for the person who was nice to me. And I'm gonna cry. And so she prayed for one of the boys in her class who was nice to her. And so we just encouraged her that when you find someone who is nice to you, that one person, they are your friend over the countless people. And like, you know, she's young. She'll eventually learn that.
Right.
But that it's not about the number. It's about how they love you and the charity. I just want to leave people with encouragement of, you know, not to feel like there's something just innately wrong with you, but turning to God and loving God, just like the passage in Sirach says, and he will bring this person into your life. So if you are in that place where you're like, I want this, or I want to grow a current friendship, just pray. Pray for that person, pray for you, and pray that God could bless you with that beautiful friendship.
And trust that he will.